Well, this morning I want to take us into a series of messages, and I want to maybe teach more than preach, maybe preach more than teach. It really all depends on how the Holy Spirit works within my heart and when I'm teaching. But I want to take us through the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. So for now, I would like you to turn to Hebrews 10. We're going to start at verse 25. And then get into verse 1 of Hebrews. I believe we always have to start somewhere to get something in a study time. So in the next few weeks, we're going to go through and take chapter 11 verse by verse and kind of dissect it and learn what faith is all about. How many of you want to know a little bit more about faith? Okay? We all need. I do. I was reading in this chapter again, and I was saying, whoa, I need to read this more, because God just keeps giving more insight and more insight of his love and what he wants through all of us and for all of us. So if you will stand with me, put your finger on that marker or what. See, I got the little black thing. That's easy for me. But I want you to say with me, this is the living word of God. That I trust and I obey. What it says is true. From Genesis to Revelations. Today my heart is receptive. My spirit is alive. As I learn to submit my will to his. I am forever changed. A child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we read this, I want you to take an understanding of what it says here and follow along with me. It'll be up on the screens there for you. It's going to be in the New King James, and it starts off with, and I like the little statement in my Bible, it says, the just shall live by faith. Verse 25, and it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Verse 26 says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has received Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verses 29, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sacrificed, a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions in those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of my goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring process of possession for yourself in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, So after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. But the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Verse 1, chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray, God, you help us. Help us understand your will. Help us understand you. Give us faith to believe. Give me, Lord, wisdom on how to teach our people and myself what it means to have faith. In your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. If I were to put a title to this message this morning, I would entitle this message, What is Faith? Now, let me give you some background, because I gave you verse 25 through 39 in chapter 10 of Hebrews. And the reason why I gave you that, because it gives you an understanding of what the people were going through at that time. Okay? And I want to take a few weeks now to talk about Hebrews chapter 11 and learn how we can be God's incredibles. Because you are incredible to the sight of God. And you can do incredible deeds and things under the power of God. All it takes is one word. Faith. Faith. Hebrews 11 is a chapter about people just like you and me. They were not some superheroes as people might think. I believe Jesus is the only one who could qualify as a true superhero, because he really does save the world through his suffering and his death, his resurrection, and being on the right hand of the Father in heaven. So if we had to qualify anyone as a superhero at that point, it would be Jesus. Look to your neighbor and say, Jesus. Now tell him, Jesus is my superhero. You know? Not Batman. Okay? Jesus. Hebrews 11 is also about people who by faith made a great difference to the world we live in. They were people who overcame great obstacles and faced great adversity to change the world for God. And this is true today as we look to faith in Jesus to do incredible acts to change the world we live in. And we can, and you can, through faith in Jesus. Those who received this letter were finding things a little tough. They were being tempted. And they were looking to the avenue of turning back to Judaism. These were Christians, but they were also Jewish. So they were Jewish Christians. And as a Jewish Christian, they were running through a lot of trials and tribulations and persecutions. The Jewish people of the Hebrew nation, and in Hebrews, those people that were Jews had privileges. Once you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, your privileges were revoked. They could ransack your home. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? They could tear you, take you out of your home, and they could kill you because of your faith in Jesus. So they were going through persecutions. At this point in time, they had not received the ultimate persecution of death, but it was coming. Okay? So they had thought patterns. They thought of turning back. And Paul knew this, and he wrote this letter to them to help them, to encourage them to hang in there. See, Hebrews 11 was meant to encourage them to go forward for Jesus, no matter what, to keep on believing and make a difference for God. Keep on holding on to make a difference for God. To be God's incredibles and make a difference for God. Not to hang out, not to be tempted and falter and fail, but to hang on for the Lord. And he comes up with the very first scripture, and he says that you got to have faith to do any of this. Because if you don't have faith, yes, the temptations will come, and yes, you will fail. Yes, you will fall. So he's leading them into that scenario there, see? Hebrews 11, 2 in the Amplified says, "For by faith, trust, and holy favor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony borne to them and obtained a good report." So you got to understand what was going on here. It was saying in Hebrews 11, 2, it says, "By faith all this took place." By faith, they had a good testimony. By faith, they had a good report. By faith, they did this. Kind of reminds me of an example of a man that fell off a cliff. But as he fell off, he managed to grab a limb on the way down. And the following conversation took place. He wasn't looking down, he was looking up, and he was looking up above, and he was calling out, "Is there anyone up there? I need help. I need to be saved. I'm here." And the Lord answers, "I am the Lord your God, and I am here. Do you believe in me?" Of course he's going to answer, "Yes, Lord, I believe, I really believe, but I can't hang on much longer." "That's all right," the Lord says. "If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch." Now understand, he hadn't looked down at all. He's always been looking up. A moment of pause took place, and his cry came out, "Is there anyone else up there? Do you got to understand that's where faith has its loss? People will have faith to believe, 'Oh, God, save me.' And the Lord says, 'Fine, I'll save you. Just let go.' You don't understand that because you're expecting him to save you. You don't have to let go. He'll just drag you and pull you back up. God doesn't want that. God wants you to hold on to your faith in him and believe that it's by his faith that you're going to be saved. It's by his faith that he'll hang you. And he says, 'I'll take care of you. Let go.'" Well, Hebrews 11:1 defines faith. And it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, "And faith is being sure and certain of what we do not yet see or have. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Do you understand? That's a great statement there. And that's a statement that should be underlined in your verse. Is it underlined in mine? Yes. It should be underlined in your Bible. It should be highlighted in your Bible because that is a scripture that every Christian should abide by understanding what faith really is. What is faith? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Oh, but now let's take a look at this word hope. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he really has? Romans 8 verses 24-25 gives us a great example of what hope is. And it says, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. I always look at that word hope. Hope is something that you really can't see hope either. I'm hoping for a great day. Now, I haven't seen the outcome of the day. But I can hope for it. I can expect it. I can know that it happens. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to say, I'm hoping for a great day. Sorry, it's already over. You've seen the day. You've known what you've gone through. So hope is kind of like faith. Right? We do not yet see God, but we believe in him. That was an amen corner. I did get one. He understood. I think I better say that one more time. We do not yet see God, but I do hope you still believe in him. Oh, the glories. Angels, you know, you heard it. And that is so true. See, that's hope. That's hope. That's faith. You have faith to believe in something even though you have not seen it. That's faith. We believe Jesus rose again, though it cannot be proved scientifically. But we know the grave is empty. We know he sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven, right? That's hope. That's faith. That means you are persevering, waiting to get the hope into reality. Hope means that you're looking for that reality. It just has not came yet. So you persevere till the reality takes place. And then it's no longer hope. Faith is the same way. We have faith to believe that Jesus, the Son of the living God, that he did die. But we have also faith that that grave is dead. And hallelujah, he's on the right hand of the Father, make intercession for you and I. We have faith to believe that. Whew, hallelujah. We believe in heaven. But no one can go and check it out before booking a reservation. Right? But we believe that it exists and that we will go there. Honestly, I've already booked my reservation. Amen? We booked our reservation. Guess what? When you ask the Lord into your heart, reservations have already been set. Jesus is already planning it up there, and it's not going to be just no temporary stay. Anybody ever gone to a hotel that you truly enjoyed? It was a great stay. You know, it was a fun time. You had a good time. Guess what? When 11 o'clock comes the next day, your stay is gone. Well, I'm thankful that my book of stay with God in heaven will not be 11 o'clock checkout. It will be a permanent stay in heaven. Hallelujah. See, faith means having convictions, being assured that something is true even if you cannot see it. Now, I'm going to say that again because maybe you ought to be writing that down. Faith means having convictions, being assured that something is true even if you cannot see it. That's faith. How many of you ever heard of the African impala? It's an animal. Okay? It's an animal. African impala. Did you know that the African impala can jump the height over 10 feet high? Can jump. He would make a great guy on a basketball team. Can jump. And not only is that great, but he can go over 30 feet in his jump. Now that could do it. You just have to make that one jump and you're from point A to point B and the hoop is right there. Nobody would be bothering. You could actually take and try it twice. Me, it would take a whole lot more than two times to make that hoop. You know, I could be right above it and still not make it. You know, anybody else? Come on. Help me out here. Yes, there you go. I got one other person. You're my kind of lady. But the African impala could just go from point A to point B, 30 feet away, 10 feet high. That's pretty good, huh? But there's another thing about this African impala. You can keep him in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. He could jump over that, couldn't he? At any point in time, couldn't he? But there is a problem with the African impala. This animal will not jump if he cannot see where his feet will land. So in turn, he'll stay in that enclosure with a 3-foot-high fence, 3-foot-high, because he can't see over that enclosure. So he will stay there and be content because he can't see where his feet will land. Uh-oh, what you talking about, Pastor? Today, we must have faith to trust what we cannot see. And that frees us from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear allows to entrap us. Because there are going to be times you will have to take risk in your faith. There are going to be times our good friends in Egypt understand exactly what we're talking about. All these third world nations that are struggling with persecution right now know exactly. They're taking a risk. They're taking a risk that could take their life. Does that make a difference? You know why they do that? Because they know what the outcome, even if these Muslims take their lives, they know eternity. See, they have got a booking already reserved for the day and time when they go to heaven, and it takes place better than anything else this world could even offer. So they were not concerned about the flimsy, fleshly enclosures that they have laid upon them and the things that might try to hinder them, because they look beyond by faith and know where the answer really is. They can't see it, but they know it's there. They have faith. They have hope. That's so true. Even if that impala could see where he's going to go, he would have been out of that zoo a long time ago. See, the problem is, we don't know. I don't know what tomorrow prevails. Do any of you know what tomorrow is going to prevail? So you have to live by faith today, right? You live by faith today, and you pray and have hope for tomorrow. Whoa! That's having faith. So you have faith. This doesn't mean that we will not have doubts. See, that's what hurts faith, is doubts. We let doubt creep in, and we abide by what the doubt says, and it hurts your faith. But I'm telling you, faith is not the absence of doubt. It is maintaining trust and belief in spite of doubts. Now, that's another good one for you to write down. See, faith, you're going to have doubt. But faith is not the absence of doubt, but it is maintaining trust and maintaining belief in spite of your doubts. It doesn't mean that there will be no evidence to support faith. It is not a leap in the dark, like some people think. Faith, it's a leap of faith. Understanding to have faith in God takes us through everything. Now, I'm going to be talking more about that as we progress into this study. You know, an understanding faith and having that leap of faith in your life. Not, you're not leaping in the darkness. God opens the door and tells you. He gives you that knowledge. And my next statement goes farther into that. Faith is our response to God's revelation. Is that okay? Faith is our response to God's revelation. Romans 10, 17 in the Amplified says, "So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself." So you understand, it goes by hearing. Faith is ultimately based on God's revelation to you. As we go through Hebrews 11, you will see that real faith is based on revelation. Noah heard God, right? Abraham heard God. Moses heard God. Saul turned to Paul, heard God. He was blinded temporarily. He heard God. And I believe in your faith walk with God, faith causes you to hear God. Do you follow me? The point is, God has revealed himself. He's revealed himself in nature. He's revealed himself in this Bible. He's revealed himself mostly through his own Son that came to this world to reveal to you who God really is. He is revealing himself every day of your life. He reveals himself. Hallelujah. Christianity is revealed faith. God has revealed himself. Faith is having conviction and certainty. In response to God's revelation knowledge, even when there are appearances of the contrary. It's God's revelation knowledge that has come to you, that has presented faith to you, when in throughout society it is of the contrary. If you can't see it, don't believe it. That's what society is going to tell you. That's what the devil is going to tell you. You know, in the Old Testament, that's what went wrong in the Old Testament. So many times the patriarchs of the Old Testament fought that battle with the rest of the Israel nation is they didn't see God, but they believed. But the nation, the Israel nation, said, well, if we can't see it, we want something we can see. So give us idols. And that's why idol worships took place. Even in God's own people, it was lack of faith to believe a heavenly Father, a godly Father, could take them through. So they would prefer to believe idols. Today we have our idols, right? Today we have our idols. You don't need churches to present to you these idols. You have your idols. You have TV, could become your idol. Work could become your idol. Youth, teenagers can become having other teenager friends that are up on the screen. They can become your idol. If you think more of them than you do of God, that becomes your idol. No matter what it is, that becomes your idol. And now you have taken your faith in God and you begin to see it in things that you see. And you lose that faith. There are many types of idols. I could go on. I could give you a lot, but I'm not going to. Think on yourself. Figure out what's out there that could cause you to be tempted to look at that what you can see and not what you can't see. Sometimes we assume great faith is the ability to cause the miraculous to happen. But let me give you a scripture what Jesus says about that. Luke 17, 5 through 6, it says, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith, oh God. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry bush or mulberry tree to be pulled up by its roots and planted in the sea. And guess what? And it would be so. So we, in our own thoughts, would take a lot of faith to do that, right? But Jesus was trying to say, that's how little of faith it really takes. If you have that little of faith, it's going to happen. So you got to understand, this actually takes little faith. When we pray for healing, we believe God is able. Now listen to this closely. We believe God is able. That takes a measure of faith. But not a great deal, as it is what we want to happen. To be certain that God will heal requires God to reveal that he will. And that's faith's response to that. But now let's go deeper. It takes even more faith to carry on trusting God even if it doesn't heal. It takes more faith in God to trust him even if he doesn't heal. Now, you want me to tell you what kind of faith that is? That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faith. That's incredible faith. That's being incredible for God. Now, let me give you the understanding. Here is three young men, that was set before King Nebuchadnezzar and told that if you do not bow down and worship me, I'm going to put you into a fiery furnace. And here was their response to this king. Standing before the fiery furnace, faced with agonizing death, they said, God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we are not going to worship the image that he can deliver us, but if he can't, we're not going to face that image anyway. We're not going to worship that image. That got Nebuchadnezzar a little upset. So he heated the furnace 7 times hotter, and you guys all know the story, okay? The story is, it was incredible faith that took place, and that incredible faith allowed them to encounter Jesus for themselves and came out of that furnace with not even a smell of smoke on their body. That's faith. That's believing faith. That's believing and trusting in God what you cannot see. And even if he doesn't do it, you're going to go forward anyway. Hallelujah to Jesus. See, they were facing persecution. He was calling them to keep trusting despite their circumstances. And that's faith. Hebrews 11 is talking about all of that. Number three, faith is not the ability to manipulate God. Now I'm going to meddle a little bit. You have some faith teaching going out there that implies that we can manipulate God and get our way. Right? Health and wealth people often take out that if you obey certain rules, you can get God to do whatever you want. No. That's the big no, by the way. You cannot manipulate God. You cannot tell God what you want. I'm telling you, my God is a sovereign God, and he's going to do what he wants. He's going to do with you what is best for him, for you. Do you understand that? Now, I'm not telling you don't pray for healing. You know, I'm not telling you don't pray for that leader jet. I'm not telling you don't pray for the building on Pyramid Highway. Please do. What I am telling you to do is when you pray, God, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was the greatest example of that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he went aside and prayed by himself. He prayed in total agony, and the agony was so hard that he bled. His sweat that he put off of his body was blood. That's how agonizing and stressful this prayer was. And in the midst of that prayer, I know that he prayed, oh God, I know what I'm going to have to go through. Very reality and near. It's near to happen, oh God. And if it could be, oh Lord, please take this cup from me. But he didn't leave it at that. There's where faith comes in. But, oh God, not my will, but yours. That's faith. That's incredible faith. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faith. That's understanding that you're going to do whatever it takes, no matter what the outcome might be. That's faith. Jesus gave us the greatest example of faith. The famous tightrope walker, Blondin, crossed Niagara Falls on a tightrope to huge crowds. Once he even took a fully laden wheelbarrow. And when he asked the crowd if they thought he could take a person across, they obviously said, yes, go ahead, take them. So he asked for volunteers. And not one raised their hand except this little old lady that was his mother. She had faith in her son to know that he could do this. That's the faith you and I need. That's the faith you and I need. See, that's the faith in Jesus. Not just thinking something is true, but entrusting yourself in Jesus 100% for everything. Now, before I conclude, I wanted to give you a little example. Remember the example of the guy holding on? Guess what? He's still up there. He's still calling out for someone else. And you know, the Lord told him, you know, trust in me, let go. The problem here was he didn't look down. He kept looking up at the top of the mountain and couldn't figure out why nobody was helping him, where he only had 2 feet down below him. How many of you are that way? You're looking for someone else all the time to help you out of the situation. When God says, I got you back, bro. I got you back. Just let go. It'll be okay. Lord, are you sure? Just let go. God didn't tell him, look down. You only got 2 feet, dummy. No, he said, let go, because God wanted to have faith in him, not realizing how much. Now, obviously, if he would have looked down, said, okay, God, I can do this. But he didn't look down. And by not looking down, he had to have total faith in the Father in heaven. And that's where God wants us. See, it's not all that bad. God says, let go. I'll take care of it. It's only 2 feet down below. You know, it's not that big a trouble. I know that you might think it's overbearing. I know that you might think it's a troublesome thing. I know that you think, if I let go, Lord, I'm going to die. Well, the Lord says, let go. I'll take care of you. And even if it was 100 feet down, I believe God would have helped him float right down. See, do you understand? It doesn't make no difference. God makes our big burdens into little. God makes our big load little load. See, we make them monstrously big. We make them overpowerful. The Hebrew people in the chapter 11, that's exactly what he was trying to get past to them. He says, don't worry. Hang on. Trust in me. Trust in me. But in conclusion, how can our faith grow in God? Oh, I'm glad you asked me that question. Number one, to let and keep your faith, this is one you should mark somewhere, because you need it. The very first thing you need to understand to get your faith to grow is you need to feed it. I'm going to say that again. Feed it. Feed it. If you want to grow, feed it. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by the hearing of the message. Immerse yourself into the Word of God. Read it, study it, get into it, and let it get into you. Do you understand? And as you do, faith will grow because your faith will be fed. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. I'm going to say that again. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. Another way to feed faith is through fellowship. When we meet together, we are meant to encourage one another, to support one another, to help one another. Sundays are important for this, but that's just as important as our Thursday night prayer meetings are important. Our fellowship times are important. Seeing and hearing people pray is a real blessing. I enjoy it so much, and I know if I, in my physical, spiritual being, enjoy seeing people and hearing people pray, how much more does it do that to God? He loves your prayers. He loves your praise. And communion, when we fellowship together, whatever we're doing, Friday night having fun, that's fellowship. Do you think God appreciates that? I think He appreciated it. Even when I won on the race car drive, won all of them, I'm sure He appreciated it. And when we were bowling, all those gutter balls, He really appreciated. And He appreciated Preston getting 115. Well, the rest of us were in the 30s and 40s. God appreciated that. See, he understands you and I more than you and I understand ourselves. Fellowship is important. Fellowship is important. Prayer is important. Praise is important. You want to feed and help your faith to grow? Feed it. Feed it. I hear so many, and I know Ray, you do too, so many people in our walk of life, what we have to do, they'll say, well, you know, I don't go to church. I don't have a need for church. You know, I get my feeding through nature. I get my feeding through, you know, fellowship with the family, and that's good, but that's not feeding the soul. You know, fellowship in the house of God is vitally important. You can't be a hermit and be a Christian. I'm going to say that again. You can't be a hermit and be a Christian. You can't go live in a cave once you get your Christianity. Oh, Lord, I'm saved. Now let me go find a cave and keep my Christianity strong. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Next, to help your faith grow, you need to exercise it. This is a little harder. Okay? The uncomfortable truth is that faith often grows best when it is put to the test. This can happen in lots of ways. Perhaps God challenges us to step out in a new way, which involves risk. Our faith is tested, exercised, and by obedience, it grows and strengthens. More uncomfortable yet is what Paul says in Romans 5, 3 through 5. It says, but that's not all. We gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure. And endurance builds character, which gives us a hope that will never disappoint us. Sufferings, endurance, strength of character, all eventually lead down one path, unshakable and confident trust in Jesus. Now, this is the one thing we do not search for. Anybody out there searching for endurance? Anybody out there searching for suffering. I mean, we can go by strength of character. That's a good one. I think we all want to search for that. But sometimes that strength of character is caused by suffering and by enduring things. Okay? The truth about trials is simple. Though they are difficult to endure, if we allow God to teach us through the trials, we can rejoice because when the trial is over, we will have learned to trust Jesus better. And that was an amen corner. A good song that Andre Crouch, how many know Andre Crouch? I mean, a lot of us, probably some of the old, younger people say, who's that? But as older people understand Andre Crouch, Andre Crouch wrote a beautiful song. The beautiful song was Through It All. Through It All. Through It All. And in that stanza of that song, it says, Through It All. Through It All, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. And that's what faith is. No matter what you go through. No matter what you go through. No matter what sufferings you might go through. No matter what endurance you might go through. Whatever you go to strengthen your character in God, God is saying, go through it. Because as you go through it, He will take you out the other end a better Christian than you were when you went in it. And this is what He was teaching in chapter 11 to the Hebrews there. He was saying, you are going to suffer. You are going to go through trials. You are going to go through tribulation. You are going to go through things that are way beyond your imagination. But I'm telling you that if you will go through them, hang on, stay strong in me, you are going to do incredible things for me. And that's where it's all about with God. I want to do incredible things for God. I want to see God do incredible things in and through you that will change this area. You know, mission field doesn't go overseas. Missions starts here. And we are in a very, very big mission field here in Sparks in Reno. The devil is on a rampage, and he wants to destroy this town. And he will if we allow him. But God is looking for every Christian that will take a stand and hold on and do these incredible deeds through Him that will make this little town set and take notice there's something going on. Do you know that's what God wants? He hasn't changed. Azusa Street, the flames came out of the steeple. The fire department was brought in. They couldn't understand. They did not see the flames, but yet people were claiming all over the place, there's flames, there's flames, the church is on fire. Yes, it was. Spiritually, it was on fire. And I'm telling you, that can happen today. Can you imagine what would happen if the Sparks Fire Department was brought to Sepulveda Elementary School with the top of this building on fire? Could you imagine what it would read in the paper? Could you imagine the news media being out there trying to come up with all kinds of examples or reasoning, mind reasoning, to understand what faith is doing? Faith goes beyond the mind. Faith goes beyond reasoning. Faith goes by what you cannot see. And that's faith. Where is your faith today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Next week, I'm going to be talking on faith and understanding. Faith and understanding. Please do not miss any of these sermons. Please do not miss any of these teachings. because our God is willing and wanting to teach you faith. But for now, look to yourself, not to anyone else. Your eyes are closed. You're not looking around. I want you right now, think on yourself. Ask yourself right now, where is my faith? Where is my faith? Is your faith truly in God? If God were to tell you right now, I want you to go out your door, go down to your neighbor, the one that lives down on that street, right next door to you, the one that you've been talking about that, oh my goodness, I can't understand. That devil must be in that guy. And God would tell you to go and talk to him or her about God. What would your answer be? Would it be an answer of faith? Or would it be an answer of doubt? God wants incredible Christians to do incredible deeds, but it's going to require faith. It's going to require hope in our Lord. With every head bowed and no one looking around, is that the faith you want? And if it is, raise your hand. If that's the faith you want, raise your hand and let Jesus know, because he's the one that really needs to know. Lord, look at these hands all around. These are people that want faith in you. They want faith to move mountains. They want faith to follow you. God, give them that this week. Give them that this week right now. This morning, I want to open these altars to you for a few minutes. We've got time. For just a few minutes, please, if you feel led to come to the altar and pray, please come. If you like to pray in your seat, please do. But let's pray for faith. Pray for faith in our Heavenly Father. I commend you right now to lift that up. As the song is being played, open up in prayer right now. Thank you, Jesus.